Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Alrighty, yes indeed, everybody. Good afternoon on another rainy, kind of yucky, miserable Tuesday in the nation's capital and beyond. It'll be hot later on this week, as it always is at this time of the year. As we hit and check the calendar, it's June 17th already. God, where's time going? AMAC is back in our Half Street studio. I am working from the home studio today, just so I don't drive everybody crazy with Ty Guy, because he's in town for a couple of weeks. So just trying to spread the love out, if you will. And, you know, he tends to be a lot to deal with. He likes AMAC and Tyler became like best friends. They were ganging up on me yesterday after the show. Both of them wanted to hit me and punish me and make me feel even worse about myself than I already do. And AMAC was AMAC was not encouraging it, but he was having fun and he was entertaining Tyler, which I appreciate. And Tyler has asked to hang out with AMAC as much as humanly possible. So we will figure out the rest. But again, kind of working separately today, and we'll see about everything. Got a couple of days off coming up at the end of this week and into next week. So as we try and recharge the batteries a little bit, heading off to New York City with Tyler for his 24th birthday towards the end of the week, and with Juneteenth and everything coming up on Thursday, you'll have kind of a little bit of a different sound and a little bit of a different schedule. But we start with this. We're not going to do forever and ever on this, because, you know, you guys have kind of shown me that you're not really all that much into the Nationals, even when they win. So I try and listen to the audience as much as I possibly can, and try and figure out what you guys want to talk about, right? So we're going to get into some Pro Football Focus things that I've got built up in the filing cabinet, if you will, on the Commanders, and something that Dan Quinn said last week about Debo Samuel that I was just reminded about on, of all things, ESPN Bet, because that's how they kind of market their betting site and the things that you can look at and the things that you can pay attention to and the things that we can talk about, quite honestly, on the radio. And odds seem to be a big part of all that. So we'll get to all that. We will get to the NBA Finals, but I wanted to open up with, I did not turn over to the NBA Finals last night until the Nationals game was over. And there was a reason for that. They had a 4-3 lead going into the ninth inning. Kyle Finnegan on the mound, right? Kyle Finnegan hadn't given up a home run, I think, since last August. And basically, as is the case these days for the Nationals, anything and everything that pretty much could go wrong did go wrong and went wrong in a hurry, including in the leadoff batter to the ninth inning. And before you knew it, a snap of a finger, the Colorado Rockies were tied at 4-4 with the Nationals, right? And everybody said, oh, wait a second. Maybe they'll win this game in extra innings. Well, maybe not everybody. Maybe I was saying that. I was like, oh, man, that sucks. God, that stinks. They gave up the lead pretty damn quickly, right? You bring in Natty Lowe for defense. You change out Finnegan. He hadn't given up a home run forever. And Hunter Goodman, who bombed one earlier, just crushes one. And it gets out to center field, deep center field, for the Colorado Rockies, who tie up the game at 4-4. It was his 13th of the year. And you're like, man, they can't even hold a lead when they get one, which is rare that they have one, right? They actually got a little bit of offense in the fifth inning. We'll get there. And then you're thinking, okay, it's 4-4. If they can just hold them here, maybe they can, again, win it in the bottom of the ninth inning. Maybe they win it in extra innings. The baseball gods have got to show up a little bit. And instead, again, Kyle Finnegan grooves a fastball inside part of the plate, inner half of the plate, and Goodman just crushes one to slightly left of center, right? And you're thinking, meh, okay, that sucks. Then Finnegan gets an out, right? And then the Rockies get a single, and you're like, oh, okay, this is not good. This is not good. But then they get the local product, Brenton Doyle, from Manassas, to pop out. So you got two out. Right? You got two out. You got your closer on the mound. He's already screwed up. Fine. Whatever. He's going to rebound. He's going to keep you in the game. And, well, that was not the case. Mickey Moniak, a household name if I've ever heard of one. Mickey Moniak crushes one that barely escapes the glove of Dylan Lyle out in right field over the bullpen fence. And the Rockies take a 6-4 lead. Just barely enough. But the Rockies score three runs in the ninth, two home runs, again, off of a guy who hadn't given up a home run, if I remember the number, since like August something or other. I tweeted about it last night. Again, inner half of the plate. It wasn't a terrible pitch by any means, but it just got enough of the wheelhouse, and Moniak got enough of it, hit his eighth home run just over the outstretched glove of Dylan Lyle out in right field, who he himself hit his first major league home run, which we're going to let you hear a little bit later on. But then you figure, okay, the Rockies have this game in control. Maybe the Nationals have a little something to answer back. After they get out of the top of the ninth, down 6-4, they come up, and they get a leadoff walk. And you're like, okay. And Brady House, right, the scene is set. You're down 6-4. The scene is set, right? He's going to hit a two-run home run in his major league debut with his family in attendance and tie this game up at 6-6 and send it into extras. And instead, he hits the ball fairly hard, but he hits it right up the middle for a double play. And then Josh Bell grounds out, and the game's over. And just like that, the Nationals have lost nine in a row. So even Brady House and his debut doesn't change the fortune. It temporarily sort of changed some things, maybe, in the fifth inning and into the ninth. And then all of a sudden, ba-boom, the roof caves in. And, you know, all you can say at this point is, for those of you that are agents of change, chaos, for those of you that believe that the time is now, for those of you that believe that it is over, and why continue on this charade if the Nationals aren't going to do what's already been expected, I would say, by most people, and that was that they weren't going to pick up Davey Martinez's team option. Well, losses to the Colorado Rockies, who came in with, what, was it 13 or 14 wins? Can't remember. Before the game. It was 14 wins. And losses and sweeps at home to the Marlins, right? That can change a lot of things quickly, as we talked about yesterday, right? And it's beyond the point now where we sit here and we analyze, okay, this little thing and that little thing. Yes, it's true. This little thing and that little thing has prevented them from winning a couple of these games. I mean, it has, right? A base running mistake, a runner's thrown out at home, caught stealing last night. James Wood got caught stealing the double play that we mentioned, just hitting the wrong spot by Brady House. Just little things have cost this team games and wins during just this nine-game stretch, never mind the entire season. But it is what it is, right? You've lost nine in a row. Your closer couldn't get the job done last night. It's his fifth blown save. Maybe part of the reason why they didn't want to bring him back initially was because of this, because he struggled down the stretch last year. And yet, you know, they get a decent, I guess it's labeled as a quality start. I don't look at it as a quality start, but statistically it is. Six innings, three earned runs, five hits. Jake Irvin, I need him to be better against a bad team, but it was a decent start. You get a two great innings from Brad Lord, shutout across the board, two strikeouts, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And then your closer's on the mound trying to squeeze out a win and start a series and maybe turn this around, and it just blows up in your face. And on top of that, it was raining off and on all night, and the official attendance on a Monday night in the middle of June, granted against a non-glamour opponent, meaning not the Mets, not the Phillies, not the Braves, not the Cubs, not the Cardinals, not the Dodgers, even if you wanted to go the Giants, meaning a non-glamour opponent like the Rockies, like the Marlins, like the Diamondbacks, even though they've won recently. You get the point. We can always count on the road fans to boost the attendance at Nationals Park. In the rain, in the middle of an eight, well, and not in the middle, at the junction point of an eight-game losing streak before last night, but in the rain on a Monday night with a non-glamour opponent, even with Brady House's debut, the Nationals officially announced a crowd of 11,370. Now, again, certainly some of that is rain-related. Nobody wants to sit in it. I got it. Certainly some of that is opponent-related. The Rockies suck. The Rockies don't have fans for the most part, and nobody cares about the Rockies. So that's going to bring down the attendance. The eight-game losing streak is going to bring down the attendance. A Monday night is going to bring down the attendance. I don't think they had a giveaway last night. That's going to bring down the attendance. So there's four or five reasons, and my buddy Scott Abraham from ABC7 was at the game last night, and he put out a video of the crowd at first pitch at 6:45. It is tough to make it to Nationals Park at 6:45 and to get in your seat. It is tough. That is one thing that they exchanged for with the earlier start 2 years ago for an earlier exit, and between the pace of play and the earlier start, these games generally end around 9:10, 9:15, somewhere in that range, which is great, all things considered, right? Especially if you have young kids and families, but 6:45 is tough. And everybody's like, oh my God, it's empty. Well, what did you expect? What did you expect? Why should fans spend the kind of money that it takes to go to Nationals Park, no matter what they're trying to do to get you there? Why should fans spend really good money, a lot of money, when you consider parking, tickets, surcharges, cost of food, souvenirs, whatever it might be, drinks? I mean, I was at Nationals Park the other day. Again, my friend Danny, very much thanks to him. You know, I got a souvenir soda, one of the souvenir hologram cups, cool cup. I still got it. It's not with me right now, but I drank from it again this morning. It's a great cup. And I got a couple of Diet Coke refills, and I poured some into Tyler's cup, and you know, we just split. But it cost $12.75. You want people to spend whatever money it takes. Sometimes it's hundreds of dollars because not everybody gets free tickets. I do, okay? So I'm not trying to complain. I'm trying to defend. I'm trying to advocate for the fans who, yes, I would love for them, when James Wood debuted last year against the Mets, to show out more. Then I think it was like 25,000 or 26,000 in the middle of summer, maybe like mid-July. Sure, you would love that, right? And ultimately, it's not a good look. But to be fair to the fans, which I always try and be, I'll tell you when I think you screwed up. I'll tell you when I think you're right. I can't blame a single fan for not wanting to go out, even though it was Brady House's debut last night. Again, rain, miserable weather. Not that it was cold, but it wasn't like warm. Monday night, a non-glamour opponent, and the team is riding an eight-game losing streak. Even if you thought, oh, it'd be cool to be there for Brady House's debut, the one positive thing that you could think of, right? before the game. Is that enough to move the needle? No. Not in my book. Not in any reasonable book. So I can't blame the fans for not going out last night. 11,370 was announced. Every bad factor that could combine into one big picture scenario that held the attendance down was present last night. 8-game losing streak, non-glamour opponent, Monday night, rain. Even though you had the summer, a lot of people are done with school, if not everybody's done with school. Around here in the DMV area. In New York, they still go to school until the end of June, which is ridiculous. But whatever. But most people are out of school. So you didn't have that working against you. I wonder if this game was 2 weeks ago, if there would have been even more than 10,000 people in attendance with every other scenario that we mentioned. So I can't kill the fans. They understand a rotten fish stinks. And last night was a perfect example of a rotten fish in so many ways. I mean, it would have been bad if it was just, if the team had gone 4-4 over their last 8 games coming into last night against the Rockies in the rain. I guarantee you probably wouldn't have been more than 17 or 18,000. But you would have gotten a better attendance, a better number with Brady House's debut if you didn't have the 8-game losing streak. But anybody that thought, oh, let's go to the ballpark, I don't even know if they're going to play. They didn't play on time, rain delay. This, that, the other thing, they stink. 8 games in a row, Davies firing the cannon off at the Nationals players. How much do you want out of the fans? Can't expect much more than that out of the fans, right? I certainly don't, and maybe that's unfair, but that's just being realistic. All right, 301-230-0980, just off and rolling on a Tuesday afternoon. We won't talk about the Nationals all day long, obviously, just because, it was a bad loss, tough loss. Now 9 in a row, and the season is quickly falling apart. And if they don't find a way to correct this, I mean, it's hard to imagine that somebody doesn't get fired, whether it's Davey, whether it's Darnell Coles, whether it's third base coach, Moore, whatever the case might be. And unfortunately, we are officially entering the period of time where at 12 games under 500 and riding a 9-game losing streak, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care for the most part. I mean, and the apathy is probably worse than anything. All right, we're with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app on this Tuesday. Stay with us. Just rocking and rolling out of the gates on a Tuesday. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll get to the NBA Finals and much, much more coming up on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Good to have you with us right here on a Tuesday afternoon. So, again, the Rockies come in and win game one of a 4-game series and extend the Nationals' misery to 9 games. Again, we're not going to beat you up with it. It is what it is at this point. They're in deep doo-doo. We all know that, and something's got to change. And here's the one thing that we don't want to hear necessarily is Davey Martinez backtracking and going, oh, you know, I misunderstood. Oh, the boys gave a good effort, all that stuff. No. You called them out on the carpet because you're pissed off at them. And I don't blame you for being pissed off at them. They make a ton of mistakes, and you can only control so much as a manager. See, most fans and most media think the coaches are like you can just go into the back of the battery compartment and rewire some fuses, and away you go. And everything's perfect, and everything's great. That's not the way it works, obviously. But yet, a lot of media and a lot of fans are convinced that when a team goes wrong, or when a team goes right, just the opposite, it's all the coaching. And that is so far from the truth. It's mind-boggling how people think that way, but that's what people think. That's what people think. And this isn't Davey Martinez being clueless. Davey has made plenty of mistakes. Nobody would deny that. And, you know, quite honestly, Davey probably showed more fire and frustration on Saturday afternoon after lost 7 in a row than maybe he's shown, at least on camera or in the dugout, that we can see for months. For months. There are people that are close enough to this team that are worried about the energy level, that are worried about the fire and the brimstone and the energy, or the lack thereof, for Davey Martinez. And if Mike Rizzo becomes worried about that, and maybe he is already, he'll be on with the Junks tomorrow morning here on the Team 980 at 9 o'clock, as he is each and every Wednesday, and they will ask. If he's worried about that, and if he makes any sort of admission about that, then you know the clock is probably already ticking, but then the clock might strike zero. And we'll see. We'll see what happens, obviously, the rest of the series, and certainly we'll see what happens with a tough road trip. Speaking of a tough road trip, it just got worse. It just got worse because we mentioned this yesterday on the air before Shohei Ohtani's start last night at Dodger Stadium. And I said, oh, look at the Dodgers schedule. If everything goes okay for Shohei Ohtani tonight, meaning last night against the Padres at Dodger Stadium as an opener, I said, if everything goes okay, guess who's pitching against the Nationals on Saturday at Dodger Stadium? Guess who's showing? Shohei. Yeah. Now, maybe he's still going to be very, very, very limited. But do you know that Shohei Ohtani last night in his first start a year and a half as an opener, 22 months, more than a year and a half, almost 2 years, right? 21 months after the surgery, that Shohei Ohtani, who, again, had not pitched for the Dodgers up until last night because of the injury and when he signed and whatever, in his 6-3 win, he hit 100. He's back. Now, it's just a matter of lengthening him out. And again, Saturday night in a likely start against the Dodgers, maybe they'll give him an extra day, I don't know, against the Nationals. Maybe he'll only pitch 2 innings. Maybe he'll pitch 3 innings. I don't know. Whatever. But here we go. The news just gets worse for the Nationals. The news just gets worse. Oh, and then you still have to deal with him at the plate, right? And you know that Dodger team, even though the Nationals took 2 out of 3 earlier this year from the Dodgers, they're rolling right now, and that's just going to be a brutal start to a road trip if they don't find a way to at least get a couple of wins here against Colorado over the next couple of nights. I'm going tomorrow night. I don't know. Maybe I'll bring them some luck. Probably not, but we will see. All right, so that's the story there. If you want to hop in, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, just, you know, an all-around brutal performance by this team over the month of June. It's now 2.5 weeks. Again, we gave you some of the numbers yesterday. They're averaging I guess last night boosted a little bit, about 2.5 runs a game in the month of June after a 38-run outburst over 4 games to end May. It's just they've gone complete opposite. Complete opposite. The one last thing that I did want to bring up, I will touch on it on the other side. It's about James Wood and the fan voting and the All-Star game and all that stuff. And the one thing at this point that Nationals fans might have to look forward to might be in danger as well. We'll touch on that when we come back after a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, tonight is Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, and that means Lord Stanley's Cup will be in the building in Sunrise, Florida, as the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers look to make it 2 Cup victories in a row. Game 6 of the Cup Final against the Edmonton Oilers, same team they beat in that same building in Game 7 last year. This one again in Florida and at home in front of the home fans as they have a 3-2 series lead. Television coverage, TNT, True TV, and Max beginning at 8 o'clock. That after the NBA Finals took a turn last night in favor of Oklahoma City. They now lead that series 3-2 as they, for the most part, blew out the Indiana Pacers as Jalen Williams had a big Game 5. And even though the lead whittled down to 2, the Oklahoma City Thunder completely corrected that and went on to win 120 to 109, a 40-point outburst for James Williams there on for Jalen Williams, on the night. Meanwhile, the Nationals, as we mentioned, riding a 9-game losing streak, home again tonight for the Colorado Rockies, 30-42 versus 57. Rather, it doesn't get any better than that. But Michael Soroka, who has struggled for the most part in his Nationals tenure, will try and come in and clean things up. 3-4 with a 5.14 ERA. Here's the good news. They're taking on Antonio Senzatella of the Rockies. He's 1-10 with a 7.23 ERA. And that's what's trending.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The 1-2 on the way. Swinging a fly ball deep right field. Lyle going back at the track. He leaps and he can't get it. It's gone into the bullpen. And the Rockies lead it 6-4. A 2-run homer for Mickey Moniak. And Finnegan, who had not given up a home run all season, has surrendered 2 here in the ninth.
All right, Dave Jagler on the call last night, 106.7 The Fan, Nats Radio, and the Odyssey app. And as he mentioned there, Mickey Moniak with the 2-run home run just over the outstretched glove of Dylan Lyle in right field and into the bullpen to give the Rocks a 6-4 lead, one that they would hold on to and win the game with and extend the Nationals' 9-game losing streak. Before we get to a call or two on the Nationals, just did want to mention, I didn't realize this because I just don't have enough time to cover major league, to cover minor league baseball, you know, with everything else going on in the world of sports. So I didn't realize this, but my guy Rich from the Nats Report, he sends out like a daily briefing type thing every morning through email. And I was looking at it, and I think this was last night. Maybe it was this morning. I can't even remember. And the Nationals' top minor league affiliate, the Rochester Red Wing, the Rochester Red Wings, easy for me to say, have lost 12 in a row. They've lost. They're worse than the major league team. They've lost 12 in a row. I mean, imagine that. The major league team is miserable right now, and they've lost 9 in a row. Imagine if you've lost 12 in a row, which teams have done before. It's not unheard of by any means, but they've lost 12 in a row. So the top minor league affiliate of this team, okay, which, by the way, they called back up Dylan Lyle yesterday, and he hit a home run and almost made a brilliant catch. And they called back up, they called up Brady House, who was one of their best hitters, so it probably ain't going to get any better anytime soon for Rochester. The bottom line is they've lost 12 in a row. They're 20, 22 and 39. I mean, crazy, right? And we think about how bad this team is. I mean, and now you start to wonder, you know, all the hubbub about Ken Rosenthal's column. Why now? Why this? Why that? Oh, our player development is better than people think. Well, as we explained back then, there was a large void as they were drafting low in the first round, as they were making trades with young prospects, as all contending teams do. They did not do a good enough job developing. Carter Kieboom, Victor Robles, guys that were supposed to be a huge part of the foundation, ultimately flopped. Seth Romero, ultimately flopped. Not only what was happening down in the Dominican, where they had to fire a bunch of people and a bunch of scouts and a bunch of longtime lieutenants like Johnny DiPiglia, all of that, right? Not only did that go sideways, but then the guys that they developed in the minor leagues and they thought were going to be big time studs for them, or at least very useful pieces, not only were not useful, but they basically flopped. I mean, Victor Robles was useful for a couple of years, but you know this, and I know this, and everyone knows this. Victor Robles was held in extremely high regard. He was supposed to be a five-tool phenom, and in reality, he was none of that. He just wasn't. I mean, good defensively, okay, but couldn't hit a lick consistently, had some pop, was terribly, terribly just out to lunch on the base paths. Clueless. So whatever speed he had was neutralized by his extremely low baseball IQ on the base paths. They have not done a good enough job developing guys. Again, injuries have played a factor. There is no doubt about that. You look at Cade Gavalli. You look at he's with Rochester, trying to get back. There is no doubt injuries have played a factor. Injuries play a factor for everybody, right? I can't solely blame it on injuries. I can attribute some of it to injury, but a lot of it has been just a really poor track record of really being able to sustain themselves outside of the Juan Soto trade. Even, again, the Max Scherzer Trey Turner trade, which we were told at the time was a year and a half before because they wanted to get maximum value. Well, they did, we thought. And they got Josiah Gray, and everybody thought, oh, we got an all-star pitcher. We got a front-of-the-rotation pitcher. And then all of a sudden, he sucked at the beginning of last year, got lit up in a couple of starts, and then we realized he's got an elbow problem. And then they waited around, and they tried to rehab it, and they tried to avoid surgery, and then he had to have the surgery mid-through summer last year, and he's out until at least September this year. Who knows if he's ever going to come back and be, like, even remotely good? And it's not like he was great or lights out before. But they need him to be good, because Keibert Ruiz, who got off to a smoking start at the plate this year, has completely tailed off for the most part. Completely might be a stretch, but has tailed off for the most part. And we all know defensively, not exactly the best. And the other player in the deal, they got nothing out of. I even forgot his name. All right, let's go out to Daniel in Springfield to get the party started on the phones at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Daniel's got a take on the Nats and wants to hop in here on the Team 980. What's up, Daniel? How are you?
Hey, Rooster. I thought I might join you tomorrow at the ballpark, but, man, you've depressed me so much with stuff.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Like, just telling me, you're right there. But where's the I just wonder where the veteran leadership on this team is.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't paid as close attention, mainly because I just can't handle the ups and downs. It hasn't been any consistency. But I have time now, so now I can watch them. So, I do want to see the young kids. I feel like I'm squandering James Wood's time not getting to the ballpark,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I guess the good news is, the good and bad news is now you've seen with And it'll be better when Dylan Cruz comes back, but he's not even resuming baseball activities yet. So it's a couple of weeks before he comes back, at least probably, I would say, early July at the earliest, maybe even after the All-Star break. We'll have to see how that plays out. But once Cruz comes back, and assuming that Wood and Brady House are here, and either Dalen Lyle or Robert Hassel, right now it's Lyle, not Hassel, maybe Hassel comes back, I would imagine that will be the case, then you have five guys in the lineup on a nightly basis that are all the future and the foundation of your team, right? And they can grow together, and they can struggle together, and they can succeed together, and they can learn how to win together. But you mentioned the veteran leadership on this team. And here's the problem. The veteran leadership on this team, quite honestly, right now are struggling. I mean, if you look at Nathaniel Lowe is struggling a bunch at the plate. Trevor Williams hasn't been good on the mound. He was okay the other day, but okay. Kyle Finnegan blew one last night. They had to cut a bunch of veteran relievers in terms of CJ. If you look at the young veteran, CJ Abrams is so up and down. I think some of Davey Martinez's frustration Saturday comes from dealing with C.J. Abrams. Same thing for Kaber Ruiz. They're not even getting the young veterans to be able to show the young guys, if you will. It's really James Wood, kind of. It's really James Wood or bust at this point.
But the perception is they didn't spend any money. So,
correct.
So they didn't exactly help themselves in that regard. I mean, I don't know who, you know, what was out there, but, you know, I love that lineup when it's, you know, the full lineup when it's healthy. It's very exciting. And, you know, pitching's been kind of all over the place. You know, I can't really blame it on Finnegan. That's one bad outing.
Correct.
So,
basically what you're dealing with, right, what you're getting at is way too much inconsistency across the board. And it seems like when this team gets, like last night in the fifth inning, they got two home runs, lefty-lefty, both of them, A, from Lyle, his first major league home run, okay, just called back yesterday after an initial stint. And then James Wood goes opposite down the left field line. Again, lefty-lefty, both of them. And you're thinking, okay, we have a lead. We've scratched out four runs in five innings. And then the bullpen does a great job, right? Just does a great job settling things down after Jake Irvin, a little bit of an up-and-down start, but not bad, right? And you're thinking, okay, this is a perfect opportunity to get off the schneid here, break the losing streak, and then again, it all falls apart in the ninth inning. And to your point, you're right. Kyle Finnegan has been, you know, good for the most part. I wouldn't say he's been great, but he's been good for the most part. He hadn't allowed a home run since August. So there's no way you can reasonably see what happened ultimately last night. Maybe you can see one home run, not two home runs, but that's how bad things are right now, is even when they do some things right, they get a good bullpen performance. They get a couple of timely home runs. They get a couple of lefty-lefty bombs. They take a lead. They settle down after Jake Irvin struggled at in the outset with a two spot in the first inning, and then they still can't find a way to win. And it's like, ah. Is that players quitting? I don't know.
Nah, you know what? They just need to go on a roll. You know, it's baseball. Baseball, they're a very streaky team. So, you know, I'm an optimist. I'm kind of hoping that they can pull off, you know, something not too late, get something going. Because they've been good in stretches this year.
They have.
You know, hope's eternal, you know.
Listen, that's all you can do is keep hoping, right? And eventually things will turn around, and they turned around for the Kansas City Royals after a lot of lean years following their world championship, and now they're back in contention. And it's turned around for the Houston Astros after it turned around for a couple of years for the Baltimore Orioles, and now they're coming back after a really bad start. So it will turn around, to your point. It's just a matter of when and who is at the helm, and how patient Mike Rizzo and the Lerner family ownership group or whatever is going to be. And, you know, look, there's a couple of mixed signals. I appreciate the phone call, you know, and for hopping in, Daniel. It was a good call. There's a couple of things out there. Like, I know in listening to the Junkies yesterday, Jason Bishop had a source that said that was close to the team. I forget exactly how he worded it, but that said that players understood where Davey was coming from, and they weren't bothered at all. And I believe there was another report, maybe it was from Talk Nats, I can't remember, that said essentially the same thing, that players understood that Davey is just frustrated beyond belief, and it really is on the players, and it really is about the players. And if Mike Rizzo and if the Lerner family thinks that, then Davey will have a job for a little while. I don't know if it'll last past this year. I doubt it, but Davey will have a job for a little while. If they have joined the parade of what was not initially reported, but was initially expected, which is players going, huh, wait. And actually, there was one unidentified player that was like, I can't believe he said that or something similar to that. Then we're going to have this situation of back and forth where every loss, every week, every game, every series, it is going to be a referendum on Davey Martinez. And basically, at this point, he's completely lost the fan base. But the question is, has he lost the clubhouse? So far through two games, I can't say they have played with little effort or energy. They have. They just haven't played well enough. All right, let's take a timeout. 150 right here on the Team 980. We'll come back. More calls. We'll get to Tony in D.C. and more. On the other side, we got plenty of NBA Finals coverage for you. And we have a lot of stuff on the Nationals we got to get to as well on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
0-1 on the way to Josh. And Bell grounds one up the first baseline. It's fair. Diving stop for Tolia. Underhand shovel toss to Halverson at the bag. It's in time for the out. And the Rockies come back and beat the Nationals 6-4. The Nationals' losing streak has reached 9 games. They had the lead in the ninth, but couldn't close it down.
Indeed, Dave Jagler last night, 106.7 The Fan, Odyssey app, Nats Radio, the sad final call, 9 in a row indeed. We've been talking about it. And we'll wrap up the conversation here, at least for today. I guess you can chime in if you want in the 2 o'clock hour, but we're going to move ahead to the NBA Finals and then get into some Commanders and NFL stuff along the way. But we will do so and end out this hour with Tony in D.C., AMAC on line 2. Tony wants to get in here on the Nats and their struggles. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Hey, Chris. This is Aries Tony, man.
What's
how you
up,
doing, dude?
How are you, man?
Long time. You're a wrestling fan like I
yes,
am.
Sir.
So get well, Liv Morgan. I know she got hurt last night. So
yeah, what happened with that? Hurt. I didn't get to see it because of the NBA Finals and the Nationals. Did she get hurt pretty bad?
I think she dislocated shoulder.
Oh,
so
okay.
They're saying maybe 3 or 4 months. So, and no, they had a good storyline for her, too. So that kind of went sideways after the injury. So, anyway, like I was telling a man right there, I was there during the 2019 season when we won the championship. I went to the watch party and everything down the same when we won. How in the world we get a championship team to all of a sudden go bust just like that and everything? I don't understand. I don't know why the learners went cheap on us and everything. We don't really have a true veteran leader. I don't know why we didn't go after Pete Alonso. Somebody, we need a star player that can draw folks just to the ballpark just as well. We don't have that.
Let me just answer the Pete Alonso thing. Is the Lerner family ownership group right now says, we need fans to be in the in Nationals Park first before we make that investment. That's what they publicly said on the record. And if that is indeed their mentality, this organization is screwed. This organization is screwed,
right?
Because the fans aren't coming back in mass until you start winning and winning significantly and invest in the future and stars like they did in 2011 with Jason Worth, like they did bringing in an Adam LaRoche, even though Adam LaRoche wasn't a star. It was the beginning of, and of course, in conjunction with Bryce Harper and Steven Strasburg and all the young players that they had, that's what as an ownership group, and I don't blame them for everything, but as an ownership group, it does not work the other way. It does not, you cannot have the mentality of, well, they have to come and support us before we support them. No. That's not the way a business works. A restaurant does not open, Tony, you know this. A restaurant does not open right. with no pots and pans and says, we'll buy the pots and pans when people come to our restaurant right. and pay for their meals. No. It don't work that way.
Right. Listen, hey Chris, here's another thing. It's a true fact. If it wasn't for the murders of Juan Soto when we got him,
yeah,
wasn't for him, Harper would still be with us. Remember, because Harper, you know, he was still here, but he was in his contract here and wanted to get paid. So, but when Soto came and just lit up the whole league and everything, it was almost to the point we just said, never mind, Harper, we got a rising star that's coming aboard, so we're going to let you move up and ship off. And we didn't know you were going to go to Philly, yeah. but still, if it wasn't for the mergers of Soto getting good and like he was, we would yeah. still have Harper.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Tony, I appreciate the phone call. Good to hear from you, man. It's been a while. Make sure you call too. Back again. But I'm up against the clock. I will follow up on the Harper Soto thing on the other side as just a quick note, and then we'll get into the NBA Finals. Why don't we do that? 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. And we're always live and free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.